From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. There's new momentum at the climate talks in Copenhagen. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the U.S. would be willing to help wealthy nations create a large fund to help the developing world cope with climate change. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Copenhagen.
The international fund would start out smaller, but by 2020 it would build up to $100 billion a year. It's not clear where the money would come from, certainly not all from taxes, and it's not clear how it would be spent. But some saw this as progress toward agreement. China also showed some movement. It has steadfastly refused to take on internationally binding emissions targets, but Chinese diplomat He Yafei said the country is willing to reveal more about its carbon emissions.
We're also willing, in the voluntary fashion, to have explanations and clarifications.
Seasoned observers say that highly bureaucratic language could actually signal a significant shift in China's position. That remains to be seen. Richard Harris, NPR News, Copenhagen.
U.S. defense officials are confirming reports that insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan were able to hack into live video feeds from unmanned U.S. Predator drone aircraft. In addition to often serving as the military's eyes in the sky in terms of intelligence gathering, such planes have also been used extensively to launch missile strikes. However, a senior intelligence official says there's no evidence insurgents were able to jam electronic signals or obtain any control over the aircraft. Officials say the Defense Department is working to encrypt video drone feeds from Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Today, the federal judge who oversees hearings for Guantanamo detainees described how courts are handling detainee confessions obtained through torture. Judge Joyce Lamberth spoke at an American Bar Association breakfast. NPR's Ari Shapiro was there and has this report.
Dozens of Guantanamo detainees have had habeas corpus hearings at the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C. Those hearings determine whether someone is an enemy combatant or must be released. The court's chief judge, Royce Lamberth, said the government regularly tries to introduce detainee confessions as evidence.
I have said to the government, if he alleges that he was tortured, I have to find that the statement was voluntary before you can use it.
Lamberth gives government lawyers a choice: describe the circumstances of the interrogation or don't use the confession as evidence.
In every case so far, the government has decided not to give me the circumstances and to decide not to use the statement.
That suggests harsh interrogations may be interfering with the government's court strategy. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
The number of people filing first-time jobless claims posted an unexpected rise last week. The Labor Department says the number of recently laid-off individuals seeking unemployment benefits rose by 7,000 to 480,000. Over the four-week moving average, which smooths out some of the volatility in the labor market, actually fell slightly. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 132 points to end the session at 10,308. The Nasdaq dropped 26 points today. This is NPR. British Airways has prevailed in a battle with its cabin crew workers, winning an emergency court injunction to halt a planned 12-day strike that had threatened travel plans for millions of the airline's customers. Britain's High Court moved to back the airline's claims. The strike ballot cast by 13,000 workers by the Unite Labor Union was illegal because it included some members no longer employed at the airline. The court injunction means the union has now been forced to cancel the strike. Florida man is free today after spending 35 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He was helped by a group called the Innocence Project, which says the sentence is the longest served by someone who was later exonerated. WUSF Scott Finnan reports.
James Bain was convicted in 1974 of kidnapping and raping a 9-year-old boy. But earlier this month, a DNA test showed Bain could not have committed the crime. Today, a Florida judge ordered Bain's immediate release. Outside the courthouse, Bain said he wasn't angry, just relieved.
I guess I have to kind of feel like when they first landed on the moon. We have touchdown.
Bain spent years asking the courts for a DNA test, but he says it took the Florida Innocence Project to get him one.
All the motions I filed before I met them, they was denied.
According to Florida law, Bain is entitled to $50,000 for every year he was in jail, a total of more than $1.7 million. For NPR News, I'm Scott Finn in Tampa.
Washington, D.C. privacy advocacy group has filed a complaint against Facebook. According to the Electronic Privacy Information Center, the changes to privacy settings unveiled last week treat users' names, profile photos, gender, and other items as publicly traded information. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News, in Washington.